leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today 18 days and counting down. It's 18 days before November the 5th for the election, where we the people, we the voters, will make a decision on the destiny of America. I'm looking at a recent George Barner survey, and I touched on it a little earlier, but I'm going to read this. A recent George Barner survey of non-voting, self-identified, church-going Christians revealed that they would be 17% more likely to vote if their churches taught from the pulpits that voting is a biblical responsibility of Christians. If only 10 to 15% of these people of faith, non-voters, change their minds, millions more would take part in the election process, and it could change the outcome of this election, end quote. This is the reason it's so vital, ladies and gentlemen, that's listening, that we as Christians, conservatives, as patriots, that we vote and encourage our friends, relatives, neighbors, and acquaintances to vote. And we need to vote biblically and not simply based on some political rhetoric, as with Kamala Harris in her interview, for example, where she refused to answer any of the questions. In fact, it is amazing, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. What are you talking about? Bret Baier pushes back on Kamala as she struggles to explain how she will do, quote, her moving forward, as she talks about in her election campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today Congressman Mike Hill. He is the former representative of District 1 in the Florida House. We're delighted to have Congressman Hill with us. Congressman Hill, we've talked about the Kamala Harris fiasco in her interview, but what are your major fears, anxieties, sense of trepidation in relationship to this election, and explain those and how it redounds to how we should respond, that our listeners need to understand the imperative nature of this election.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, I want to say I hope that Derby calls back in. We got one of his 4 points in before the break at the top of the hour, and Derby always brings in a lot of insight with his comments,
that's right.
So I hope he calls back in. But my concern about this upcoming election is what you just stated, that headline of how so many Christians will stay at home and not go out and vote. I call them spiritually fat and lazy. They use the excuse that, well, my pastor doesn't talk about it from the pulpit. That has nothing to do with it. Your pastor is not going to be with you when you stand before the Lord God Almighty to have an accounting of what you did with your life. You can't turn around and point at your pastor. It's you as an individual. We have on this ballot Amendment 4, which would put into the Florida Constitution the ability to murder a preborn baby up until the moment of birth. without any kind of restraints at all. That alone should be enough for every Christian to get up off the couch and go vote, just so you can vote no on that amendment. And to say, well, my pastor hasn't talked about that. Your pastor doesn't need to. You have your own conscience. You know what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, that it is wrong to murder that baby in the womb. You need to get up and go vote. That's my concern about this election. I believe wholeheartedly, Dr. Youngblood, that if the Christians would get out and vote, that Trump would win this election by a landslide. Absolutely. Even with the cheating that we know they're going to do.
Amen. Congressman Hill, we have Derby back on the line, but before we go with Derby's conversation, I'm looking at a text I just received from a lady that listens to this broadcast in Portland, Oregon. This is what she says. I pray that people understand how important your topic is today. Drug legalization has destroyed the state of Oregon, end quote. And that's for a person living there and understanding what is taking place in that part of our nation. Debbie, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
My other point was Amendment 4. Feminists say, my body, my choice, that they will not comply with what the government tells them to do. However, they do comply when the government says, take the COVID vaccine. They agree with it 100%.
You're exactly right, Derby. And number one, it's they can say, my body, my health. They can say, my body, my choice. And as Kamala Harris is advocating, Kamala Harris says, in fact, that if she's elected president, she will have a federal law that will replace Roe versus Wade, that will make abortion on demand the federal law of the land, and that will go right up to and including the time of birth. Congressman Hill, what's your response to that? What should our listeners understand about Amendment 4 and its danger and the lie that's wrapped therein?
Yes, Amendment 4 would place in a Florida Constitution the ability for a woman to murder that baby in the womb, to have an abortion up until the last trimester, the ninth month of the pregnancy, where that baby could be murdered simply on the whim of a health care provider, which was not defined, by the way, in the language at all, what a healthcare provider is, simply on their agreeing with the woman to want to be able to do that. It is a horrific bill that is there, and it has to be voted down. You're talking about millions of babies who have been murdered throughout the United States since Roe v. Wade was first put in place, and then, thank goodness, recently, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, turned it back to the states to decide, and the states, the people, we the people, must decide that we are going to govern ourselves by not murdering babies in the womb, that those lives are precious, that we need them, and that they are made in the image of God and deserve to live. So we need to have Christians who will get up, go vote, and if anything, just to say no on Amendment 4. And while you're there, by the way, go ahead and vote for President Trump, because Kamala Harris is saying that she will allow abortion on demand, that they call it reproductive rights, reproductive health, freedom, and all this other nonsense, when if you would call it what it is, and that is murdering that baby in the womb. It must stop.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, hold your thought a moment. Derby, hold your thought a moment. I'm going to read a headline and two brief paragraphs. Derby, you probably saw it in this morning's Florida Times Union newspaper, part of this article. This is a printed article from online. Florida opens 100-plus fraud investigations into abortion amendment for campaign. The Florida Office of Elections, Crimes, and Security, called OECS, has opened more than 100 investigations into potentially fraudulent signatures used to get the extreme deceptive abortion amendment 4 on the November ballot. according to the 348-page interim report released by the OECS. State officials are investigating complaints that point to all to at least 35 paid signature gatherers, not signatures, but 35 signature gatherers that submitted 37,000 petitions that suspected voter signature forgeries. These paid signature gatherers are associated with Floridians Protecting Freedom, called FPP. The Florida abortion group that sponsored Amendment 4. The detailed report states that these allegations may affect more than 1,500 voters across 35 counties. These reports cover letters signed by the Florida Department Deputy Secretary of State for Legal Affairs, Integrity Election, Brad McVeigh, shares the details of how state officials were inundated with complaints involving these agents between late 2023 and 2024 that included allegations that the paid petitioners used signatures from dead people, using non-matching signatures, forged signatures, and used personal identification information without consent. And I could go on and on and on. The bottom line is, Derby and Congressman Hill, the petition that the gathering of signatures that allowed this petition to be put on the ballot as an amendment proposal on Amendment 4 is fraudulent from the start. So the question is, Derby and for Congressman Hill, how do we respond to that? The question also, if we determine that the petitions were a large enough majority to make it an unconstitutional ballot initiative, how do we go back and undo, change, reverse the voting if it is voted in? Congressman Hill, I'll let you go first, and then I want Derby to respond to that postulation.
Well, they received enough signatures to get it on the ballot with a buffer of about 115,000. I think that's the right number. I could be off on that. And so they have found 37,000 to be fraudulent. What they are saying is that if they are to find enough where it would not have made enough signatures to be placed on a ballot, then that would invalidate that being on the ballot in the first place. And even if it were to pass, it would be null and void. It would not go into effect. But here's my put on that, Dr. Youngblood. I don't believe it needs to be enough to overturn their margin over what they had of the required signatures. And I'll just say 115,000. I'm not quite sure of the number. We have 37,000, which are fraudulent. That's enough right there. One is election fraud. And I'm glad to see that I read that same article that there were people have been prosecuted for the fraud that they've done. It should be enough to remove that from the ballot. It should not even go forward. But if it does, and we find that indeed that there were more fraudulent signatures than which would have prevented that from being on a ballot, then that makes that null and void, even if it were to pass.
Derby, what's your take on that? And then what is your other question or comment?
Well, I believe those 37,000 people should be prosecuted and punished, period. And that will never happen.
The problem is, Derby, the majority of those 37,000 illegals signatures were from dead people or from those where identification was stolen. And I believe, frankly, if they continue the investigation, and I pray that they will, it's an ongoing prosecutorial effort. And I believe that if they find enough signatures, as Congressman Hill mentioned, if they find even more, then there should be enough to. And that number, by the way, Congressman Hill, is 105,000, according to the article, not 115, but that's still close enough. It is my opinion, as Congressman Hill stated, if they continue to find these fraudulent signatures or petitions, they need to cast it out. It needs to be canceled. And even if it is voted in, it should be automatically unconstitutional and does not become law. Derby, you had another question.
Yes, I'd like to go right to my last point. I would like to commend Jacksonville Sheriff T.K. Waters when he called out Mayor Donadegan while in London. while in London, she said that mass deportation is inhumane. Well, that is against the law to have illegals in the country anyway. So that is treason when you allow illegals to stay in the country. Usually 99% of illegals will vote Democrat even before they become citizens. So the only reason Donna wants those illegals here, she wants more voters for the Democrat Party. Period.
Debbie, you're exactly right, and I can simply say she was playing to her Islamic jihadist friends there in England as she was making that statement, and it's antithetical to anything that we'd call constitutional or legal or equitable from the standpoint of the morals, ethics, and values for we the people, the citizens. So I am appalled by it, saddened by it, but what else can we expect from an individual that was the Grand Marshal of the Sodomite Parade last year and probably will be again this year, because they're planning on having another Sodomite parade in our city. But she is anxious to appeal to those voters that would vote for Kamala Harris. She's embracing their policies, and it's unfortunate that we have in Jacksonville a mayor that is I call it loose likes lost liberal. I'm bothered by that, but it's still my prayer that we the people will let our voices be heard, conservatives, Christians, and patriots, at the ballot box in 18 days and counting down. So, Debbie, keep praying, keep looking up as we progress.
Let me close quickly. I am for T.K. Waters for mayor for Republican next time.
That'd be 100% better than what we have now. T.K. is an avid, without any apologies, Christian, loves the Lord, and he places that first. I've had personal conversations with him, had an opportunity to be a part of those in his election process, and I'm thankful that he's in office. It's my prayer that he'll continue his unabashed, absolute stand for morals, ethics, and values from a Christian perspective. We could ask no less than we're finding today coming from our sheriff. Derby, thank you so much for your comments. Keep praying, keep looking up. Congressman Hill, as I look for what is taking place in the election, I know it's 18 days and counting down. What is your take on the fact that we're finding Mark Elias, the paid liar for the Democratic Party? Back March a year ago, Mark Elias said that they had over 1,100 attorneys representing the Democratic National Convention across the nation in all of the cities and states where they could challenge the election in order to draw it out and to perhaps question the election enough that they could force an election result as they see it. But now, Elias, I'm looking at the headline, Mark Elias is interfering with the 2024 election results already. And the article goes on to talk about the number of cities and states and counties that he has filed suit. I think it was, at the time this was written, less than 70. I think the number was 67 suits that he already filed in the blue cities, blue states, blue counties, challenging the fact that some of our states and some of our counties are taking dead people off the ballot, off the voting roll, the registration roll, taking non-citizens off the rolls, and yet he is filing suit. And in the state of Georgia, the judge ruled that, yes, they could not go forward with cleaning the rolls, etc. What is your take on that? How should we view it? And what will this be? What will the end result be in the election if this continues as they're planning it?
Dr. Youngblood, election fraud is a crime, and it should be prosecuted. Anyone who participates in election fraud, who is filing lawsuit to prevent removing ineligible voters from the rolls, whether they be dead, illegals, or from another state, anyone who's trying to prevent that is participating in election fraud and should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. That will put a stop to this nonsense from this so-called lawyer who's running around filing all these frivolous lawsuits whenever he sees that the Democrats are going to lose. And it's because even in blue states, blue counties, they cannot win without cheating. And they know that. And we need to put a stop to it at all levels, Dr. Youngblood. And one way of doing that is enforcing the laws that are on the books, which says to remove people who are known to be dead, don't live there anymore, or are illegal, ineligible to vote. This one judge saying, oh, yeah, we can keep them on there. There comes a time when the doctrine of the lesser magistrates comes into play, and you ignore that judge or you appeal it immediately to make sure that the letter of the law is followed. If we continue to allow fraudulent participants in this upcoming election, that's what's going to make it closer than it needs to be. And the Democrats know that. They know that they have to cheat to even make it close, because their candidate is not a capable candidate to run the United States, be president of the United States, and they know it. It's obvious to everyone. I would say this, Mark Elias should be prosecuted. Someone should bring charges against him. I would say either a state attorney general or even some good company or group that is for election integrity should file a lawsuit against him to put a stop to this.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm looking at the headline, Mark Elias is interfering with the 2024 election results, and it goes on to say, Democratic Party lawyer has already filed more than 60 pre-election lawsuits to stop Trump from becoming president again by combating what he calls Republican voter suppression. Mark Elias maintains such requirements are racist strategies designed to make it harder for minorities to vote. How is it a racist strategy to simply say you take dead people off the rolls, you take non-citizens off the roll? How can that be construed to be racist? But in this article, he says if Trump is declared the winner, the hard-charging attorney threatens to overturn the election. Listen, if Trump is declared the winner, this Mark Elias says that he's going to overthrow the election by deploying an army of hundreds of lawyers to sue for ballot recounts in all of the swing states. Trump, in turn, says if Elias continues, he's going to file lock him up for election interference. And you're exactly right. I believe that we need to recognize one other thing that links to the question about our election integrity. I'm sure you're familiar with, Congressman Hill, familiar with the fact that in North Carolina, and most of the counties in North Carolina, those affected by the hurricane that have devastated and destroyed the homes and the lives of so many people in the state of North Carolina, also in the northeast portion of Tennessee. But they've changed the voting regs. I'm sure you're familiar with it. In fact, the voting regs in the state of North Carolina, for the most part, been changed to the point where anybody can take your ballot and take it in to the election headquarters. You can vote in any county, not your county, where you live, because their philosophy is, well, their homes have been destroyed, so they can vote in any county. Anyone can pick up the ballot and take it in. Ballot harvesting now is perfectly legal in the state of North Carolina, and I could go on and on and on where the regulations at the last minute have been changed. What do you say to that? How do we counter that, and what will the results be as a result of that?
Well, it puts North Carolina in a position now where the fraud can be rampant in that area. And I want to say this, Dr. Youngblood, we still need to pray for those people who have been displaced by that storm.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Horrific. Now, I would say that those folks who have been displaced, they should be able to vote outside of their county if their county supervisor of elections office has been destroyed and it's not existent, or if they've had to move somewhere else because their home is gone, they should be able to vote. But it shouldn't be spread throughout the entire state that anyone in the state can vote anywhere they want. The entire state wasn't devastated, just a portion of it. And where it was devastated, those people should be able to vote in perhaps an adjacent county or wherever they are staying now, because where they go vote is gone. Their home is gone. They should, but not the entire state. That should be stopped. Again, that's a ploy by the Democrats to steal a state, to steal the election, And it shouldn't be allowed. Someone should challenge that right away.
Absolutely. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over to the question or comment, please.
I hope once Trump stays in the White House and we have control of the Congress and the Senate, we need to pass a law. Make it just a day to go on vote. You know, they came out with those stupidity I don't agree with, and they made it into a holiday, June 10th, and Kwanzaa, whatever it is for Christmas, which I don't care. Why don't we have a day or an election day? I mean, come on. But what gets to me is when we got the power, we want to please everybody. That's the problem we have. God bless you, bro. Have a blessed day.
Jose, you're exactly right. In fact, one of the deficits that I find, Congressman Hill, I'm looking at a headline, Kamala Harris calls Columbus Day part of the USA's shameful past. She's already agreed that if she's president, she will, by executive order, change Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. And it's things like that. One of the things she said that she would absolutely continue if she's elected president is the transgender movement of the cutting off healthy body parts, etc. There's so many things, Congressman Hill, that she will do that will destroy the moral ethics and the values if Christians do not go out and vote. Would you elaborate on that some in our closing minute and a half as to what America will be like if Kamala Harris is president, and then close with the challenge for our listeners to vote according to the biblical values?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, we have a constitution that was given to us by the founding fathers that the Democrat Party does not adhere to, they do not agree with, and they want to trash it completely. The reason they want to do that, as John Adams said, our Constitution is made solely for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to any other. So the Democrat Party has demonstrated their lack of morals, their lack of religious faith. And when we say religious faith, we're talking about the Christian faith.
Yes.
We're not talking about any other. And so they have shown their total disregard for that. And because of that, they will do things which are outside of their purview of power to do against our Constitution. So we must get back to the basics of following our Constitution. We need to have Christians who will get up, who will get and vote for the Republican Party to get back in office so that we can now once again at least hold someone accountable for their actions should they go against the Constitution, because the Democrat Party is not held accountable for the many egregious actions they've taken against our Constitution. So
absolutely.
What I would say in closing, we need to look at Psalm 119, 126. Lift your eyes to the Lord. It says, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law.
Amen.
Christians, get out and vote.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching.